Reformed Church.
So if you can all turn real quick to Ephesians chapter 1. I have read this to you plenty of times. We have referred to it many times before, and we're going to do it again this morning. And Paul says in verse number 1, Ephesians 1:1, and this is AKJV, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And if you jump down to verse number 9, he just says real quick, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Verse number 11 says, in whom also we have obtained, right? Pastor Mike was talking about our access. He said, we have obtained an inheritance. Now just read that carefully again. We have obtained, right? We're not going to obtain. We have obtained. That is past tense. That's not future. That's not waiting for Jesus to come back for you to have an inheritance. And I'm going to show this to you so you can see that an inheritance or our inheritance was talked about all the way back in the book of Genesis to Abraham. He knew about the inheritance. Isaac knew about the inheritance. Jacob knew about the inheritance. The church, in some ways, Christians have forgotten the inheritance, and they think, like Martha, that the inheritance is for by and by, someday tomorrow. But again, Jesus is not coming back to die again. Jesus came for the purpose of dying, to give you life and life abundantly. I don't know what the church think that means, life and life abundantly. I don't know if they think that that means that Jesus is going to give you jelly beans, but life and life abundantly means exactly that, life and life abundantly. In other words, abounding from the inside of you, right? That's where things that the church experiences since the beginning, that's why the church experiences things like healing. Where does healing come from, right? It's not from, you know, little miracles that God throws down from heaven. Healing occurs because Christians have life on the inside of them, right? When the apostle said, such as I have, possess inside, I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Where did that man get the strength to come into his legs? From the life that's in the apostle, right? So it wasn't God throwing down things from heaven. It was something that he provided through Jesus Christ. That is not, that is such an awesome way to understand, right? That Jesus came and provided something. It's not that God does whatever he wants whenever he feels like it. It's that God loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have life, right? We should go ahead and take that life, right? It was provided for you for a reason, right? So we can have that life. So Paul goes on to say, he says in verse number 11, in whom, in Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, right? In other words, we were destined for this, right? We were destined to possess these things, destined according to the purpose of him whom works all things according to the counsel of his own will. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we're going to touch on that just briefly. Here the reference is made that, you know, the Spirit of God is a seal of the faith that we have, right? In other words, all that means is a fancy way of saying that we are marked with the Spirit of God on the inside of us, right? If you've ever heard like the mark of God, right? That's the Spirit of God on the inside of you, right? That's not that he takes a Sharpie and writes on your forehead. That is that you have his Spirit on the inside of you, right? And he says that we've obtained that Spirit after we believed. Verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, right? In other words, pointing out that your inheritance, like Pastor Mike was saying, is Christ in you. The Spirit of God in you is where your inheritance comes from, right? The life of God that Christians experience in their lives comes from the Spirit of God in you. That's why he's actually called the Spirit of life, right? He's called. So we have that Spirit on the inside of us. And he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. I won't go into that, but what that's talking about is this, right? Miss Lindsay was praying when she was up here. She talked about the fact that we have received the spirit of adoption. That means that you are his, right? So in your spirit, you are as God is, right? We have been made one with him, right? But your body doesn't look like him, right? Your body still wants to decay and it wants to suffer. That's why the Lord said in Romans 8, he said that if you believe, right, that you have the Spirit of God in you, that God, by that Spirit, would give life to this mortal body. Mortal means not immortal, right? Mortal means subject to decay, subject to death. He said he would give life to your mortal body, right? That means that we have the life on the inside of us to give, to heal a sore, right? To make you better, right? If you're not well, right, you have life in you that can make you well, right? Remember, right, Jesus came, he said that's the principal purpose why he came, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, right? Verse number 15, he says, why I also, he says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, listen to who he's talking to. Paul is writing, he wrote a letter to the Ephesian church who are people that have faith. That's who he's talking to, right? Today, we're reading this to people that have faith, right? And here's what he says to them. He says, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the rest of the church, right? Verse 16 says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, listen to what he wants you to have, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, the him there is Jesus, the knowledge of Christ and of God the Father, right? Why? So that verse 18 says, like Jet and Stella, right? Like Christians, right? That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you'd be able to see, right? That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, but not just that, that you would know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints now. The inheritance you have received, which is in you now, right? And I get it. I can't go into it now. The response to that people that live by sight, which Christians should not be living by sight, right? He said, don't live by sight, live by faith, right? Faith is a perception of seeing Jesus. He said, don't live by sight. If you live by sight, you're going to see death, you're going to see decay, and you're going to think that's what you have. God said, don't look around you, right? But a Christian may say, or someone that doesn't believe, let's say, might say, well, I hear you talking about you have an inheritance on the inside of you, but look at the world. There's so much suffering. There's so much death. There's so much hunger, right? When a Christian lives on this earth, Jesus prayed in John 17. I encourage you to read that. Jesus said in John 17, he said, Father, praying to God, the Father, he says, I don't ask you to take them out of the world. I just ask you to keep them, right? And how are we kept? He said in John 14, Jesus said, I'm going to be with you, but I'm giving them my spirit, right? And they will be kept, right? And they will know the truth, right? And that truth is where they will have liberty and freedom from the decay and the things of this world, right? So he says that they would know, look at verse 18 again, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. His inheritance, right? In other words, his inheritance. Who is the his? Jesus, right? Because you are called you are said to be, all Christians are said to be heirs and joint heirs with who? With Christ. We are heirs together with him. That, you know what that means? If a husband has an inheritance and a wife is married to him, she is also a joint heir with him. That means whatever he has, she has. Whatever is his belongs to him, to her also, right? So what he's saying there is, such as I have, so do you have, right? And there's so many verses. I mean, and I encourage you to look at our website and you can search and you can find many more messages that'll go more in depth, right? To this morning, we have a little bit of time, but not much, okay? So he says that your eyes would be open. He said that you that have faith, that you have love for all the saints, that you would be able to take advantage like Stella was not doing, right? That you would be able to take advantage of the things that are right there on the inside of you, not thinking that you have to wait, right? But that you could take advantage, that you could see, that your eyes would be open. Obviously, he's not talking about your physical eyes, right? These people were not blind, right? But they could not see in their mind's eye. In other words, they could not see by faith. They weren't seeing the revelation of who Jesus is. And that's why the Lord says, you know, you don't see yet everything under your feet. You don't see everything under the feet of God in this earth, right? If everything is under the feet of Jesus right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and everything's under his feet, why is it that we don't see everything under his feet? And he said, I get that. I know you don't see, Scripture says, everything under my feet, but you do see me, though, right? That's why he says, don't live by sight. Behold my glory as in a mirror so you can see who you are. So whenever a Christian wants to find out who they are and what they have, don't look at the world, don't look at your neighbor, and don't look at another fellow Christian, right? Not Paul. Paul did not die for your sins. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not die for your sins. None of these men died on a cross for your sins. If you want to see what you have and who you are, look at Jesus and say, Lord, I want to come to know you more, right? I want to come to know you more. What I want to show you this morning is all the way back to Abraham, right? Abraham was a man that received revelation of Jesus, even though obviously they didn't call him Jesus. They didn't know his name would be Jesus, right? But they knew that there was a Messiah coming. The gospel was given to the Jewish nation first, right? And it began to be revealed to Abraham first, to Isaac, and to Jacob. What I want to show you is three, I forget what the word is, right? I guess, you know, Abraham was the grandfather, right? The grandfather of Jacob. And the Lord reveals himself to Jacob. And he reveals himself in the same way that he reveals himself to us. The Bible says that in the same way that God preaches the gospel to us, it's the same gospel that was preached to them. Now, to them, it was in symbol, and it was in a lot of different hidden meanings, right? But nonetheless, it was the gospel that was preached to them, and I want to show you that this morning. So if we can go to Genesis chapter 28, and you're going to see the relevance to the cute little episode that we just saw. Powerful little thing. I love it. Genesis chapter 28, if you could look at verse number 1. So here is a picture. Obviously, you know Isaac has two sons, Esau and Jacob. The Lord says about the two of them, before they were ever even born, they were still in the womb of their mother, right? And God says, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Now, that's not because God hates people, right? God so loved the world, not just Christians. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? So the Lord has love for every single person, right? Every nation under the earth. But he did say, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Esau was a man that could not receive the love of God. Why? Because he would not believe. It's not because he didn't believe that there was a God. There's plenty of people that believe that there's a God, but you don't receive from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ because you believe that there's a God, right? That doesn't matter, right? Even Satan knows that there's a God, and he obviously doesn't receive from Jesus, right? So it's not believing that there is a God that saves you. It's believing in the Savior that saves you, right? You can't get saved without the Savior, right? That's a little key thing, right? That's important. Jacob is blessed by his father Isaac. So Isaac comes to him and he blesses him in verse number 1. And he says, Jacob blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padan Aram to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Like, it's funny, I don't know why they don't call him grandfather. I guess that wasn't a popular word back then. Your mother's father, but that is your granddaddy, Abraham, right? But anyway, sorry, not in this case, it's not Abraham, but to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take you a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And I could go into, you know, what it means to be in agreement, right? You guys have all heard about, don't be unequally yoked and that whole thing. And I know that's a big cause of confusion for people, but let me just put it to you in the way Jesus put it to Satan, right? He said people were calling him, they said that he was healing people and that he was doing it by the power of Satan. And Jesus said, listen, if I'm healing by the power of Satan, then the kingdom of Satan is divided because he's making people sick and I'm making them well. So if I'm working for Satan, he's not very smart, right? Because he's making people sick and I'm making them well. He says, so if a kingdom is divided against itself, any kingdom, any corporation, any organization, any job, any marriage, any family, right? Anything on this earth that does not agree falls. Anything on this earth that does not agree falls. That's why governments fall, because they become very popular, very powerful, disagreement in the ranks, and things fall. right? So being not unequally yoked is not a thing that God just applies to Christians. He applies it to everything, right? So therefore, a husband and a wife, you want a good marriage? Agree with Jesus. Listen, that's the simplest thing. You want a good marriage? You want to know what the secret to a happy marriage is? I've been married 34 years, right? I know the secret of marriage. I know my Lord, and so does my wife. And the more we both know him, the more our marriage prospers. It's not about me helping her with the dishwasher, even though I do. It's not about her helping me with the chores outside, even though she does, right? The point is, it's just us knowing him. And when you know him, there's this magnificent thing that comes out of you, love, right? What are the two greatest commandments? It's really one, love the Lord your God. What happens as a result of that? You love your neighbor. Who's the first one that benefits from that? Your spouse. Right? And it's not that you have to get married. I'm just saying that is what equality in your mind, right? And that's probably an unpopular word today, but that's why it's so important for a husband and a wife to be in agreement. That's why it's important if you're going to go into business with someone to be in agreement, right? Because if you don't, your business is going to fall, right? I said I was not going to go into it, and then I did anyway, but okay. So in verse number 3, he blesses his son. He said, and God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be a multitude of people. This is, remember who we're talking about here, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the beginning of the church. The church that we see today around the world was not a thing yet, right? It was being born. That it was born from Abraham. Abraham is called the father of those that have faith, right? The father of the faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus. Now you notice that Abraham was first. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which are the fathers of faith. And then came the law. The law was not given as a covenant to interrupt or to dissuade people from the law of faith, right? The law came because the people wanted to live that way. They didn't want to live anymore by faith. They wanted to start living by works, right? And God says, you want to live by works? Let me give you 10 commandments that it is impossible for you to keep. Impossible for you to keep. So that you know why the law was given, and I can't show you the verse right now. We can talk about it after service if you like, but the law was given to lead us to Christ. What happens when you're given a command that you can't keep? You need help, right? When you have a command that you can't keep, and Jesus said, listen, he said, when I said don't commit adultery, you think that that's easy to keep because you don't cheat on your wife physically. He said, if you look at a woman and you even lust in your heart after a person, you've committed adultery. It is impossible. It is impossible, right? People, none of us, not me, not you, not any human being that has ever lived, is that it is impossible to think that by the law, any man can be justified. That's scripture, right? It is impossible that any man could be justified. So the law was given so that people would go back to their roots and believe as their father Abraham believed. God revealed himself to Abraham and he believed. Jacob here is being told, listen, that God would bless him. It was a prophecy to him that he would be fruitful, that God would multiply him and him would make him a multitude of people, a multitude of nations. Obviously, that was not referring to the Jewish nation alone, right? A multitude of nations, a multitude of people, that's us, right? Gentiles, right? That were made part, grafted into the olive tree, right? Made part and formed the body of Christ. He of the two made one, right? And made for himself a body, a dwelling place, a temple, right? A house of God, right? He made himself. So he blessed them that way, which that is the beginning of the church. So he's already here. God's already, from the time that his dad is praying over him, God is already beginning to reveal through the words of his father, a man of faith, right? Isaac was a man of faith for sure. God even said it. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? You ever heard that before? That means that they listened, they obeyed him. When the Lord says, I am their Lord, that means he's not just their Lord by title. He's their Lord because they did what he said. What did he tell them to do? Did he give them 10 commandments? They weren't given yet, right? What did he give them? He gave them the law of faith. He said, this is who I am. Believe in me. I will send the Savior, and I'll show you how he told them about Jesus. I will send the Savior to save you out and make you a multitude of people. And he wanted them to believe that, right? It's the same way with us today. It's the same gospel. The Lord reveals himself to you so that you can come to know him through another believer. If you put faith in Jesus, right, you are then his, right? You are part of that multitude of nations. Verse 4 says, and I give you the, and give you, he said, that God would give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed, listen, that you may inherit the land. Inherit the land. I'll tell you real quick, just because of the shortness of time here this morning, he wasn't talking about the land of Canaan, right? And we know that because in Hebrews, the Lord says that Abraham was in the land of Canaan, the physical promised land. He was standing in it. And he said that even though he was standing in the land of Canaan, he sojourned or lived there as a stranger in tents because he looked forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. You know who that is? The New Jerusalem. You know who the New Jerusalem is? The church. Right, that John in the book of Revelation looks, and the Lord shows him a vision of the church, and he says he sees her adorned with the glory of God. Who has God glorified with his glory? Let me ask it this way. Who has God given his spirit to? The church, right? That's why we are adorned with the glory of God. In other words, but there is coming a day, obviously, with that adorning that we have in us, that we have in us will be on the outside of us, right? In other words, there's a day coming when you know the Lord fully that this mortality will be swallowed up by what? By immortality. Where is immortality? On the inside of you. That's called life. Immortality and life is the same thing, right? Death is the opposite of life. Mortality is the opposite of immortality. The Bible says that through the gospel, through the good news about Jesus Christ, it says that immortality and life come to light. In other words, they should be seen. When somebody preaches the gospel to you, you should hear life and life abundantly so that people that are dying can say, that sounds really good, right? But if the gospel is I'm dying and if I know Jesus, I can still keep dying and maybe I'll see him some other day, right? That's not that great news, right? If I'm sick today with cancer and you're telling me that I can receive Jesus and maybe get better when he comes back again, that's not great news. That means that I'm going to suffer for the rest of my life like everybody else does. So what do I need Jesus for? Right? If I'm saved but I live like everybody else, then what does saved mean? Right? In other words, that's like somebody you're on a big cruise ship and you fall overboard and somebody throws you a lifesaver with no rope. There you go. Be saved. No, you're not saved. You're going to die, right? That is sometimes the gospel that we present to people. A saving, a cross, a message of the cross with no rope. So there you go. Do the best you can with that. You'll die, but don't worry. You know, the Lord will raise you up someday, right? And it's not that he's not going to raise us all up. And it's not that people that, even Christians that have not believed the fullness of the inheritance that Paul was saying, that your eyes would be open, that you'd be able to see. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to the church. He said, open your eyes. Open your eyes so you can see what he's given you, so you can see the inheritance on the inside of you. But we live sometimes like paupers. We live like people that have nothing, right? Yet we have everything. We are, can I tell you something? When he says inherit the land, Jesus says that we are heir of all things. The land there is the cosmos. And you'll see in Romans, we can't go there, but in Romans chapter 4, Paul translates that and says that we are heirs of the world. If you click on that little word world, it's not earth like just this earth, it's all of it. It's the universe, it's the cosmos. Actually, the Greek word is kosmos. That's where we get the word cosmos from, and we just changed the K to a C, right? But that is what it means. You are heirs of the cosmos. That means that God has put on the inside of me anything that I could ever need. First Peter says, for life and godliness, he has given it all to me. And all I have to do is get to know him more and more so that I can take advantage of the life that he put on the inside of me, right? We have an inheritance, right? Can you just remember that? Can you think about that for a little bit? Can you ponder the fact that you have an inheritance? You have obtained an inheritance. You have obtained, not by your works, not by your doing, not by your sacrifice, but by the work and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Not yours, his. That's why what you do is not important. It's what he did that's important. Oh, Pastor Jose, you're telling me that it's not important what I do. I can just do whatever I want. I'm telling you that your works are not the thing. You couldn't save yourself at any turn. There was nothing that you could do to save yourself. It took Jesus coming to save you, right? And yes, you know what? The more that you get to know Jesus, godliness does come with that. And love for your spouse and for the people around you, for the people of the world comes along with it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, temperance, right? All of that comes in the same ball of wax that you've been given in Christ, right? That's Galatians 5, right? You have all of that. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not your fruit. It's His fruit, right? It's His fruit from the inside of you, right? And it affects your life. It affects the people around you. What was it Miss Kim in the episode said? It makes everything around you wonderful, right? Isn't that weird that that word wonderful sounds like a kiddie word? But it's because we think that the word wonderful, you have to be as naive and ridiculous as a child to believe the word wonderful. And yet we should know that the grace of God in us will make everything around you wonderful. So that if you have a wife that is barren, and you are barren, and can't have a son, and God has promised you that you will have a son, and then you will bear a child, and you can come to God and say, Lord, I don't even know where I'm going to get a child, because you said that I'm blessed, but I don't even have a kid. The one that's going to get all my stuff is a slave in my own house, right? And He says, no, the one that will inherit will come from your own, from the inside, from your bowels, He said. He will come from inside of you, right? And it took Abraham, it doesn't have to take us that long, but it took Abraham believing for 25 years. And then that child was born. But He said throughout those 25 years, he did one thing right. He did a lot of stuff wrong, but he did one thing right. He grew strong in faith. That means he heard what God said and he learned what God was trying to teach him. Who was God trying to teach him? Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you that. So here's what happens. So the Lord blesses him through Isaac. He comes in. You know, Esau was just a jealous man. He sees that his father blessed Jacob, and he sees that that Isaac had told his son Jacob, don't take the wives of Canaan. So what does he do? He takes from the wives of Canaan, just to spite his brother and his father. But that's another message. And then in verse number 11, I just wrote a note in my Bible that says, Jesus reveals himself to Jacob. So you can see. Now here's a man, right? All he knows, he's just minding his business, right? And he's going to get a wife. What is he thinking about? Getting a wife. That's all. He wasn't doing any super spiritual stuff. He is a descendant of Abraham. His father is Isaac. Both men of faith. He doesn't believe yet. He knows God, but he's not a believer yet, right? So he's off getting a wife. And here's what happens. And he lighted, which just means that he came. And I don't want to know why they don't just say came. But he came to a certain place and he tarried there, which just means that he stayed there all night. Because the sun was set, and he took, listen to what he does. All of this stuff, listen, just like in our lives, the Lord does things in our lives, and we don't even know that it's God sometimes, right? And it's God moving all these things in your life because you're a believer, because you love him, right? He's working all things out for your good. But Jacob is just minding his business, and he sees a stone in that place, and he says, you know, he takes of the stones in that place, and he makes them a pillow, and he laid down in that place to sleep. The interesting thing, and you have to go on our glossary online to be able to understand some of these terms, but I'm just going to give you the high level for today because of time, and then you can go there to get the rest. A stone is something that is still. A stone is something that is at rest, right? Stone could be also mean dead, but it's at rest, right? And the pillow there, if it's translated a headrest, right? Which obviously is understandable, right? You lay your head at night on a pillow unless you don't like to sleep with one, but you lay your head at night on a pillow, a headrest. So it's where your head rests. So this goes back to Matthew. Jesus told them, he said, if you come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It wasn't physical rest so you can run a marathon, even though that is an advantage of the life in us, right? It was the rest for your soul. You will find rest for your soul, your mind, right? So your heart can rest. If you're weary, right, by many doctrines and many commands and many things that you have to do to impress me, right? In other words, there's so many people trying to impress God. So many people trying to do something to earn something. Jesus earned it all for you. If you could earn something, why did he have to come? He could have just stayed in heaven. Why come? If you can do it by yourself, do it then. If you can save yourself, then save yourself, right? Right? Just if you fell off the cruise ship, climb up the side of the ship all by yourself then, right? If you can do it, do it. Obviously you can't, right? Right? So you need a savior. That's why he sent his son, to save us, because we needed him, right? And he says, so he placed, he laid his head down, the headrest, just to give you a quick preempt to this, right? The headrest for your soul is the gospel. In other words, good news. When your life is just upside down, and God gives you the good news that he said, I am your way into heaven. I am your door, Pastor Mike said, right? I am your door into everything that is good, into everything that is heavenly. I am your door. I am your savior. And you receive that, that's good. Listen, you don't even have to be saved yet, and that sounds good, right? To somebody that is dying and you tell them you can live, that sounds good to me. Unless you're just some kind of masochist, right? If you're hurting and somebody tells you you can live, right? If you're racked with guilt because you can't let go of the things that you've done in your past, Jesus can say, look at what I have done in my past, right? Look at the suffering that I have taken for your sin. Let go of your own condemnation because I was already condemned for your sin. See, it's not that God is easy on sin. It's that your sin has already been condemned, right? There's a difference, right? It's not that God is easy, like if I sin, it doesn't matter. It's that the reason why it has no bearing on me is because I believe in the one who was condemned for my sin. Now, if people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that they die in their sin, but they don't have to. You follow, right? People today die in their sins, and they don't have to die for their sins because there was somebody that already died that paid the price and died the condemnation for their sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that the wages, the payment for sin is what? Death. The wage, the payment for being a sinful person is death. Jesus came to take the sin of the world so he could pay your, that was your debt that was owed not to the president, to God, right? That was a debt owed to God. You sin, you die. So what did he do? He sent his son to take your sin, put it upon one that had never sinned, and died your death. So what? In other words, he died your condemnation. So today you can say, you know what, Lord? There is no condemnation, Romans 8:1 says, to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Because we believe in the one who took our condemnation. So he tells them, I'll speed this up real quick. He tells them in verse number 12, look at what he says. He says, behold, he dreamed a dream, and he saw a ladder, right? A ladder that was set up on earth and reached to the top of heaven. So Jacob lays down, puts a stone on his head, and sees, has a vision in a dream, right, of a ladder that goes from earth to heaven. Guess who was on the ladder, right? Jesus Christ was on the ladder. Watch, he says it. He says, he saw a ladder set up from earth that reached all the way to heaven, and behold, the angels of God descending and ascending on it, right? I won't go into it, but in John 1:51, Jesus says that he is that ladder. He says, and you will see a time come, Jesus says, where the angels of God will be descending and ascending upon me, he said. So he's calling himself what? The way, right? He actually said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Not by your works, by his work. Not by your sacrifice, his sacrifice, right? So he says that ladder that he dreamt of reached heaven. And verse 13 says, and behold, the Lord stood above it. So he sees a ladder and the Lord standing above it, right? Thank God that he came down from that ladder, right? And he came and died on the cross for us, right? Behold, the Lord stood above it. And he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father. Isn't it interesting? Abraham was not his father. Abraham was his grandfather, right? He said of Abraham, look what he says. Of Abraham, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Why did he say it like that? Because he was talking about faith, right? Abraham is his father in the faith. Just as he is our father in the faith, Galatians 3 says that Abraham is our father in the faith. So Abraham was his father in the faith, right? So he says, Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land, watch, again, making reference to his inheritance, the land where you lie, I will give it to you. Who will give it to him? Will he earn it? Will he work for it? Will he labor? Will he steal it? Will he put together an army to take it? No, right? He said, I will give it to you. That is called inheritance, right? When you leave something for your children, that is an inheritance. When God gave you something, that is an inheritance. Who does he give us that inheritance through? The one that we're a joint heir with. His name is Jesus Christ, right? And he says, I'll give it to you. He says, I'll give it to you and to your seed. You know, seed there is descendants. Who are we? Descendants of Jacob, Why? Because we are after the same faith as our father Abraham, right? Descendants, their seed. 14 says, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. That's the church, right? It's not just the Jewish nation that are as the dust of the earth, right? They're limited. They're a nation, right? It's Jew and Gentile, right? That is now as the dust of the earth, right? In multitude. He says, and you'll spread abroad, not just there, but to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all of the families of the earth will be blessed, right? By what? The same faith. We are all blessed with believing Abraham. Why? Because we believe like he believed, right? We believe like he believed. Obviously, Abraham is not our heavenly father, right? Father just means, father and son means a son is like his father. We are like Abraham in one thing alone. We have the same faith as Abraham. That's why he's called our father, not because he's like our heavenly father of some sort, right? And then verse 15. And remember, this is God giving a dream to a man that doesn't even really know him that well yet, right? So he's showing him, Jesus is giving him a dream and said, I am the ladder. You want to come into heaven. Your father, Isaac, just blessed you. And he said that you would become a multitude of nations. He said that God would put on you the blessing of Abraham. God is saying, like he's saying to you today, if you'll hear it, right? I am that way to your blessing. How do you think the way Abraham was blessed is the way I will bless you. The way Abraham was blessed is how I will bless you. And he says in verse number 15, and behold, I am with you and I will keep you. That's what the reference that I was making even before from John, right, 17, that the Lord said, don't take them out of the world, but keep them. He said, I am with you and I will keep you in all the places that you go and bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you. See, that's a promise that we have. We have the Spirit of God in us. He's come to stay with me. He will never leave me and never forsake me. I can do something wrong in the next 5 minutes. And the Spirit of God does not jump out of the inside of me and go back to heaven somewhere, right? He is with me because of everything that Jesus has done, and he will never leave me. And he will never abandon me, and he will never condemn me, and he will never look down on me, and he will never be angry with me ever, ever. Why? Because his wrath was already poured upon his son. Why would he have to be angry with me? His wrath was already poured upon his son, and I believe in him, right? And I believe in him. Thank God. Right? He said, I'll not leave you. And Jacob awoke out of sleep. And he said, just from that dream, right? Just like Paul was praying that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. He said, he awoke out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know it, right? I knew it not. And he was afraid and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other, listen now, this is none other than the house of God. You know what that word house is? Dwelling, temple. What is the church called? The what of God? The temple of the living God. In other words, we are the dwelling place of God. God sent his Spirit and he lives on the inside of us. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphan. I will come to you, right? I will come to you. In other words, how did he do that, right? He said, me and my Father will come and we will make our abode in you. Our abode is home, house, temple, right? Pastor Mike taught a whole series on the temple of Solomon, right? We are that temple, right? We are that stone building, right? That stone building filled with gold inside. And if we will believe and put the law between our eyes, you have those two cherubim, right? In the Holy of Holies, beholding the word of God, right? The law of the Lord. If we will look and put our eyes on seeing Jesus, gold will flow out of you. In other words, you that are barren, life will come out of you, right? Gold will come out of you, right? He says, listen, this is none other than the house of God. Watch now. And this is the what? The gate. Gate. You know what that word gate is? Door. This is none other than the temple of God. He's saying, he doesn't know much, but the Lord is speaking through this man, right? He says, he doesn't even know entirely what he's saying and what he's doing. I'm pretty sure that he didn't know everything that he was saying. He said, this is none other than the house of God, the temple of God, and this is the gate. In other words, he remembered that ladder, and he says, this is the door to heaven. In other words, Jesus, who he didn't even know him by name, there is a way to heaven that will come to earth. The ladder was from earth to heaven, right? How did God get us from earthly and made us heavenly, right? Through the ladder, who is Jesus Christ, right? And verse 18 says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning, and I'm almost wrapping up here. He took the stone that he had put for pillows. He took his headrest and he set it up. Listen, he set it up for a pillar. He set it up for a pillar and he poured oil on it. So he takes the stone that he had put on his head and I don't know if he stacked them to make them like a pillar. And then he takes oil and pours oil on it. Listen, remember, I'm just going to read a verse to you so you can see how awesome this is. He says, this is none other than the house of God, right? This is none other than the house of God, the door, the gate to heaven. And then he takes the stones, he makes them a pillar, and he pours oil on it. Listen to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, can you guys bring it up for me real quick, and I'll look it up. 1 Timothy 3:15. Remember what he did, right? And this is the book of Genesis. Look at 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that you may know, he says, how you ought to behave or conduct yourself in the house of God, in the temple of God. In other words, that's talking about Christian conduct. How should we, what is the thing that we should be doing? And I'll give you the punchline. It should be that we should live at rest by faith in Jesus. That's what that's saying. But anyway, it says, the house of God, which is the temple of God, which is the church of the living God. So he defines the temple of God as the church of the living God, who we are. And he says, for it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. What is it that Jacob did? He took the stone, which was his headrest, which, right, our mind should rest, have rest through the gospel, right? And he took the stones and set them up as a pillar. And then he poured oil on it. You know what the oil symbolizes, right? The fruitfulness that we have by the Spirit of God. He poured oil on the rock, right? If you're coming back to Genesis 28, and he called, listen, he called the name of the place Bethel. We actually have a town in Sullivan County called Bethel. You know what Bethel means? House of God. He named the place where he slept, right? The house of God, the temple of God, right? He said, but the name of that city was Luz at first, so he renamed the city. And Jacob vowed a vow, and this is what he said, if God will be with me. Listen, this is what people of this earth want. This is what individuals that are hurting, that are dying, this is what people need and what they want. He said, God, if you will be with me. He vowed a vow, and he says, if you will be with me and keep me all the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. In other words, if you will provide for me, and you will keep me safe, right? And you will give to me, if you will provide for me, so that I can come again, verse 21, to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, he says, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. Right? This is the beginning of the church. This is where we were born. This is where the church today that is spread across the entirety of this globe, right, was born through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Can I tell you something? Jacob married two women. The very next chapter, you can read it for yourself, and I'll wrap up here. He marries two women, right? Those two women, you know who they gave birth to? All of the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Came from those two women. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, men of faith. That last man marries two women, right? And the entirety of Israel is born from those two, right? And we today are called, he said, a Jew is not one that is born Jew, but a true Jew, he says, is one that is of the same faith of Abraham, right? Because before Abraham was ever a Jew, right, he believed God. And Isaac believed God. And Jacob believed God, right? And everything that happened in their lives, right, everything that happened in their lives and more, right? Jesus said, you know what, don't be astounded by when you see little miracles and little things happen. He said, you'll see greater things than these, right? Why? Because it is the life of God that we have on the inside of us.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.